Thanks for coming up here, everybody. Okay, what is this? A brick. Good stuff, right? What is this? There it was. I heard a bigger brick, yes. But concrete block. What do you do with these? Make walls, right? You could build a building, you can make a wall, and some walls are good, you know, for protection and other things like that. But some walls are not so good. So today in God's Word, we're going to hear that there was a wall that separated us from God and from each other, and it was God's law. Now, God's law is not bad, it's perfect, but our sin separated us from God and from each other. So today, we're going to hear what God did to break down the wall. So to take each brick by brick off, or to blow up the concrete blocks, Jesus did by living a perfect life, perfectly according to the law, for us. And then by doing something very special to end the conflict between us and God. See on the back wall, what's on the back wall there? What is that? A cross. What did Jesus do on that cross? He died for us. He took all of our sins away. So all the law that accused us, he paid for each and every one of those sins and took down the wall so that we have a place in heaven, so that God loves us and nothing separates us from God or from one another. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for taking down the wall that separated us from God and from each other. Help us to see how blessed we are, how thankful we could be, and to live in peace with you and with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. I do not like conflict. Maybe I'm not alone in this, right? I know there's healthy conflict, like engage in healthy conflict. You know, even brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to, you know, say things to each other that are difficult someday. I get that, but most of the conflict I think we experience is unhealthy conflict, you know, born out of pride or selfishness or insecurity or anger or envy, and the list goes on. And it crops up, and you know, the eighth commandment often gets broken. People start forming sides, kind of people or individuals kind of silo up, and they kind of want to be lone rangers, not have any contact with other people. It's just not fun, right? Even worse is when there's conflict with God or with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he speaks about the conflict that existed with God and the conflict that was there with one another. And what could be done about it? Well, God did something about it. And we see what he did, which changed their relationship with God and your relationship with God and their and your relationship with each other, not just now, but forever. Jesus took down the wall to build God's house big enough for all. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 to 22. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole body is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is God's word. Paul loved the Ephesians. Last week, Pastor Gunther preached on the first part of this chapter. Paul, some places he was only like a few weeks. But when he got to Ephesus, a place he really wanted to get to, and first had been prevented from getting there, but when he finally got there to preach and share the gospel, he went right into the synagogue, and he was there 3 months sharing the gospel, and many Jews came to faith and trusted in their Savior Jesus, who was glorious. Then when things got hot there and he was kind of no longer welcome at the synagogue, he went to the lecture hall of Tyrannus and preached the gospel there for 2 years. He knew these people well. He loved them. They loved him. And he also knew them well. And he knew the issues that were there. There were two main groups, if you will. There were the Jewish converts to Christianity, and there were the Gentile converts to Christianity. And just a place for breeding conflict, right? The Jews had the law of God. The Old Testament law was perfect. It was beautiful. The ceremonial, civil, moral are kind of the things we put them into in the categories, but just a perfect law for God's people at that time. And they loved it. And, you know, they were circumcised. You know, the men were circumcised according to what the law said. They saw the things God wanted to do, and they thought they were doing them, and they were checking all the boxes. And they were even willing to say to those who didn't really have a high value of the law, to say, you know, uncircumcised, you know, lob this, you know, this one at them. Which is accurate, because Gentile Christians did not need to be circumcised. But here they took God's law, which they had not kept, and they were thinking that this was reason for them to boast. That they, you know, God must love them because of how good they are. And they were wrong. And that barrier stood between them and God, and between them and their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, of Gentile background. Then you got the Gentile Christians who came from utter darkness, whereas Paul earlier describes them as without God and without hope in the world. Even though they had their pantheon of gods, they had their temple to Artemis, all that stuff in Ephesus, but no, you're without God, without hope. What a miserable existence. And so they, coming to faith, you know, loved Jesus, loved to hear this, but the temptation is there too, as they came to Christ, and, you know, being a Christian, God does change you, and he changes your heart, and he changes then after your heart, your behavior, and as you trust in him, you want to live for him. But sometimes it's easy to say, Lord, I don't want you to change that part. You know, I like all the commands and commandments except these two or three, so we'll just agree on 7, right, not the other 3. And we kind of make deals like this, and it becomes pretty apparent by those who maybe were people who loved the law, and they saw, no, God wants us, how could you act like that? Why don't you get it? And they would say, well, you guys are hypocrites. I know what you're really like. And so conflict, where both of them are wrong. And here this wall stands between God and them and between them and each other. Do you do this? Do we do this here? I mean, you have conflict, right? When I start talking about unhealthy conflict, you're like, oh, yeah. You know, whether it's at the workplace or on the team or in the classroom or between teacher and student, boss and employee, or maybe just the whole culture of the place where you are is difficult, and you go, yeah, we have conflict. Do we have it in the church? Yes. These same difficulties plague us as well. You know, it could be as simple as, you know, the every Sunday attender, the worshiper who's been a Christian their whole life, loves it, understands the beauty of worship, understands the beauty of being in God's Word regularly, but then suddenly kind of drifts into this, you know what, I worship every week, I give offerings generously, I give of my time and talents and ability, I volunteer, I'm in the choir, I'm in Bible class regularly, and we can start to feel like maybe God loves us because we are, you know, close to him, or he loves us because we come all the time, or he loves us because we check all the boxes that are supposed to be checked. And we start looking down on other people and say, why don't they get it? Why don't they come? Why don't they do this? Why don't they give offerings? Why don't they? And then we look down, and here we totally misapply why we're even here. And so a wall is built with God and built with other Christians. And then there are the Christians who are, you know, maybe we don't come every week, or maybe we do struggle with some certain things, and it's pretty obvious to everyone. And there's that temptation, too, to go, well, if I can ignore it, I won't feel bad about it, and I'll just kind of live how I want to live, and, you know, 7 out of 10 commandments isn't bad, and God's just going to have to put up with that, and that's wrong, too. And then looking at those who are there every Sunday, and their lives seem pretty clean, and then going, why? They're hypocrites. I know they are, and I could show you. And so you have this big mess. You have this wall built with God because they're wrong. We're wrong, too. And then a wall built with each other. And we can't take the wall down. we can put our hard hats on and go after it, but no. It's not something we can do. We failed against God's law, and we failed each other. So Paul writes this, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." He says, but now, something different. And he says, through or by the blood of Christ. "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations." Jesus knew you were far away. He knew the Ephesian, the Gentile Christians, or the Gentiles were far away. He knew the Jews by their behavior and their thinking they could achieve God's approval by the law. They were far away, but he brings them peace. And how? In his flesh. Jesus took on flesh. The Son of God took on flesh and lived under God's law perfectly. That perfect law, which had no flaw, Jesus lived perfectly. And he did it for the right reasons, because he loved God. And he wanted to serve him, and he wanted to love his neighbor as himself. And then he took that perfectly lived life, and he handed it to his Father so it could be wrapped around us, robed around us at our baptism. And then, in his body, in the flesh, through his blood, he brought down this wall brick by brick, because all the conflict that stood between you and God, between you and your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ or anybody else, Jesus took upon himself. He became the one conflicted with God. He became the one conflicted with his fellow man. And he had God punish him. He had the wall crush him in his body on that cross. By his blood, you are forgiven. By his blood, the conflict is taken away from you, and it was put on him, and he ended it. He took down that wall to build God's house big enough for all. So now what? Now what would the Ephesian Christians do? Those of Gentile background, those of Jewish background, what are you and I going to do? Us with all our different cultural backgrounds, our upbringings, our places we grew up, our things that we found important, the way we were raised, the sports teams we like, the differences all over that could be a source of conflict, what do? He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. He has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. We don't set up silos. We don't let walls get built between us and fellow Christians. We take the time to apologize. We take the time to forgive one another. We take the time to let things go and give it to God. We take the time to be patient. We take the time to truly love one another, even those who are at odds with us. Why? Because we're all saved the same way, by his blood. He took down the dividing wall of hostility, and he preached peace. And so you and I live in that peace. Not only peace with God, but peace with one another. Remember all that's been done for you. Remember who you are. So we shipped Teddy off to Mankato to the Armory to go off for National Guard and do basic training and stuff. And we knew we were going to, like, you know, get cut off from communication. And, you know, you hear about the one phone call you get, and they're kind of shouting. You can't get down the address fast enough. So we have no clue what his address is. We haven't heard from him in weeks. And we knew this was going to happen. You know, we've been warned about this. And so as we're getting ready to say goodbye to him, you know, he's really leaving the bubble. And that was one of the things. He's like, you know, Dad, I just want to get out of the bubble. Like, it's a pretty good bubble, Teddy. You know, like, you got St. Paul's Lutheran, went to Lutheran Elementary School, you got your MBL friends, your Luther Prep friends, you got the college right there in the shadow of the college, surrounded by wonderful fellow Christians. Now you're going to leave all that. And so what do you say? So Hannah and I said, remember who you are, not only our child, but a child of God. So also Paul is saying to you, remember who you are. So Jesus has done all this for you, so consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. You belong. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, this is who you are. It's not like God was just being Minnesota nice for a while, like waving, hey, how's it going? You know, give you directions anywhere except to his house, right? No, he saw you out there and he said, come in. You have a place here. You belong. I love you. This is your room. This is your chair. You're part of this family. For the believer of Jewish background, for the believer of Gentile background, for everyone here, and there's room for more. You see, when God had the temple built, it wasn't just for the Jews. It was supposed to be this beacon of light among the nations who were without God and without hope in the world, that they would come and see this light and they would worship. Tudor Mortensen read it from Isaiah, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. That was what it was meant for. And even though the children of God kind of fell into idolatry and adopted all the other pagan gods, and that temple was torn down in judgment, it was rebuilt with that same purpose. And now it's been torn down again. Do we need another temple? No. Why? Because you are the temple. You are the building God has been building to let his light shine. This peace we have in Christ and sins forgiven. This love, this fellowship, this unity. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You know, we're built in on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. We have God's word, which shows us our Savior, which guides us. We have Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Everything lines up with him and his forgiveness and his salvation and his will for us. And you and I are being mortared in to this building in which God lives by his Spirit. And you're also being mortared in right next to each other, which is kind of a thought, right? So you are brothers and sisters in Christ. You are family now. So we talk about conflict. There's no room for it. There's God's love, his forgiveness, and true peace. Jesus took down the wall to build God's house big enough for all. And that includes you. Live it together in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.